honor, Father. Thank you for your word, Father, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He said, blessed are they found in the way who walk according to the law of the Lord. We give you praise, O God. Lead us and guide us, Holy Spirit, to all truth. Your word is truth, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be seated. Not you, Harry. Let it rain, buddy. Little bit. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Guess what I'm fixing to do? Read my Bible. Clearly. Clear as can be. Extremely clear. Clear, unclear. It don't matter though. Alex can tell you as we work together the same place. You know, one thing I can honestly say before God, I have a real hard time saying that somebody works for me. Because we co-labor, working for the same, I have a real hard time saying that I have secretaries or Lupita. I mean, they've never, ever heard me say to anybody, there's Lupita, she works for me, or Alex. That goes against my conscience, I really believe, because we're co-laborers in everything that we do. We have one common goal, to work for a company that has hired us to make the money. And I pride myself at work, and Alex will tell you, now, I'm like everybody else. I have my days. But I pride myself on making something positive out of what, Alex? Out of a negative. I don't spend a lot of time at work, because there's a lot of mistakes that are made at work. We have a real busy office, Lupita, and Alex can tell you it's incredible, the year that we're having. Business-wise, gallons-wise, call-wise, bottom-line money-wise, it's been an incredible, incredible year. But it's a job that it's so demanding. But I pride myself on, when somebody makes a mistake, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to rebuke a person for making a mistake. My mindset is, let's fix it. Let's learn from that mistake and let's see what we can do, being proactive on how not to do it again. It does no good to pound a person. I mean, if something's done purposely, yeah, you have to do what you have to do. But I pride myself on taking a positive out of a negative. Do you always know? But that's what I try to do out of every situation. And we have to in life. We have to have that mindset. And I try, and I tell people that I work with, I said, the way a person gets wiser is hearing the wisdom of somebody else. You don't always have the right eye. I found out a person that talks a lot, sometimes one of the worst people you can, and before I go on, I want you, one of the worst persons that you can talk to sometimes is the person that just started praying. You know why? Because they're so excited and they want to tell you everything. I mean, think about it now. A person that just starts praying, they haven't really prayed much and they get on a roll and they get on fire for God. They want to tell everybody what they've been learning. And it doesn't come out of a bad spirit. You just got to be careful sometimes in general. With the body, you know, corporately wise, you just got to watch it. And of course, another thing that's bad is listening to a person that doesn't pray, because they usually don't have too good of advice. So I've learned through the years that those that say the least are the ones that love God the most. I've learned that because I've made those mistakes before. And when you get around people that know the word and that are more anointed than you and carry more wisdom, I just and listen to them. I'm learning as I go, just like all of you. And Alex said something that was all right on target this morning. Because one of the characters that I love the most in the Bible is King David. I'm just intrigued with his lifestyle, his no fear mentality. And what Alex said today was right on. If you ever think that you can't learn from somebody, that's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to be, where you feel like you can't receive from anybody because you're into God 10 or 15 years more than the other person. A little baby can teach you. My son David can teach you. How can David teach you, Pastor Homer? Well, take away his toy. Let another 8-year-old kid take away his toy. Knock him across the head with it. They'll fight, and David will probably knock him back too, unless he gets double teamed like somebody else's kids that I know anyway. But he'll be mad at that person hit him across the head for 5 minutes. And he'll forgive him, and he'll play with him. So we can learn from each other in life. God, we can. As I was going through the scriptures, yes, I really didn't do much of nothing. I thought I was going to watch football. Called Julio up and said, what time is the football game? So he said, no, they play on Sunday. I said, okay. So I spent the day in and out. I would take a cruise through town, read the Bible, just back and forth the whole day. And I just decided to read the book of 1 Samuel because I know there's something missing in my walk. I can quote scripture with the best of them. I can hold my own against anybody, which isn't really what God wants of me. He doesn't want me to debate this world. I can quote books. I'd probably quote the book of James to you, 1 John, just probably word for word. What's that mean? Nothing. But I was just reading the book of 1 Samuel yesterday, as my kids left, and just reading it. And I'm always intrigued by David. I know everybody hears of David and Goliath, and you hear what seems to be a childhood story of how David, 5 foot something, killed a giant. Oh, my friends, but that's more than a story. That's more than a story. And what Alex said this morning was that you just don't feel like worshiping God sometimes. Me, I have my preference in worship. You know, he's got his, you know, Julio has his. I like my worship. You know, I won't tell you that's how it is. My personal preference is words of adoration to King Jesus. Words like, I love you over and over again. And that doesn't mean I have the monopoly. I have everything on worship. I don't. That's just my preference. At my house, on my porch, under my tree, I worship how I want to. And I believe that when you hear words of adoration towards Jesus and we join into that, there seems to be a stronger presence. And I just, that's just my type of worship. I mean, I like being still. But my preference in worship is just words of adoration. I don't need third party. In my personal prayer, I don't need third party. When I'm alone with my wife and holding her, I don't want nobody else to come. It's just me and her. When I'm worshiping Jesus, my preference is me and him, not me, him, and Darlene Check. It's me and Jesus. Unadulterated worship. Words coming out of my priesthood to him. And when you get to worship and the words out, you can't say I love you enough. You can't say I worship you enough. And that's my personal preference on worship. I mean, you have yours, I have mine. Who's right? Neither one of us. Just worship Jesus. And I was going through 1 Samuel yesterday, and I know there's, I said, Lord, there's something missing in my walk. You know, there's, I feel closer to you than I was last year. But I just, there's something different. I'm missing something in my life. And I was reading through 1 Samuel yesterday. I'm just going to read to you real quick. I'm just, about King David, we all know the story. How the Philistine Goliath came to challenge the armies of Israel. It says for 40 days, twice a day. So he came 80 times, Goliath, that a giant, to challenge Israel. He said, find me a man. We may fight. And if we beat you, you'll be our servants. And if you beat us, we'll be your servants. 40 days, twice a day, this giant came and challenged the armies of Israel. I'm not going to really preach about David and Goliath until one day David came to check on his brothers at the command of his father. He came and he checked on his brothers to see how they were, to see if they were alive or not. And this particular day, David just happened to be the right place at the right time. For Goliath, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And this giant issued challenges to the Jews, the Israelites. They had access to this. They had access to God's word. They had access to God. But he issued one too many challenges to God's people. David gets there one particular day to check on his brothers, to take their pledge. And a giant shouts, "I challenge anybody out of the armies of Israel to fight with me. We'll meet in the valley and we'll fight. And if I beat you, you'll serve us. And if Israel, then if you beat me, then we'll serve you." He issued that challenge 80 times. So I don't know how many thousands of soldiers there, of Israeli soldiers, of Jewish soldiers that were there. And they were all terrified of him. Terrified of him. So one day David hears this challenge. This is the part that got me here. This is why, really, this is those that have been to this church for years. I'm not talking to anybody new. This is why it's real hard for some of you to get into worship. That's why it's real hard for me to get into worship continually. That's why you can hear songs about worship and really you just, it doesn't faze you. And I'm gonna share with you why. To help you come out of your rut, to help me come out of my rut. I'm so intrigued by David. What I wanted for Christmas is one thing. I mean, but then my daughter and my wife, they tried, I wanted a Star of David. Because I love the Star of David. I love it. And I'm going to find one. If you find one, buy it for me and I'll reimburse you. But I had a Star of David, but a close friend of mine liked it, so I'll give it to him a few years ago. And I haven't been able to find one since. But I'm so intrigued by David, by King David. I'd like to meet him one day. And I will one day. Other than Jesus, he's my favorite character in the Bible. So Goliath comes and he issues a challenge to God's people. But Goliath didn't know there's this little shepherd that tended sheep would show up this day. And David checks on his brothers. He hears this loud roaring voice of a giant challenging the armies of Israel. Now, this is the thing that excited me. I said, "Lord, what is it about this man that so intrigues me? I love hearing about him. I love reading the Psalms that he wrote. Why did this man seem to love you more, Jesus, than I love you?" And it's incredible to me. Listen, I'm going to read this to you real quick. Not even going into David and Goliath so much. I'm just going to go into David. As David heard Goliath offer a challenge to the armies of Israel. Listen to what he said. Now, if you pray in the Spirit, you'll know where I'm going with this. Listen to the words of David once he heard Goliath issue a challenge towards the armies of Israel. Listen to this. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God?" Verse 26 again. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now there was another man there also that was king of Israel. Now, listen to me carefully, I beg you. That was also king at the time. Listen to his words. No, David is explaining to the king, "Let me go fight this giant. Let me go fight him." Then David gives a brief explanation to the king on why he should allow David to go fight this giant. Listen to this. I beg you, if you pay attention, I promise you'll get something out of this. I promise you will. David says in 1 Samuel 17 and 37, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" You know what separates David from the majority of the church, according to what I just read? This is why, and again, I'm here to help you, man. This is why some of you, even my own family, seem with no interest in Jesus. The majority of the church, there's just no interest in Him. They made a commitment to receive Jesus, but they haven't made a commitment to be His disciple. There's a difference, man. A lot of people receive Jesus, but very few receive Jesus and then turn into a disciple. You know what separated David? He wasn't even born again. He didn't even have the Holy Spirit. But he had a revelation. And he spoke specifically of what that revelation was. Listen to what he said. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God?" David had a revelation that God was alive and well. He had a revelation that God was real. He had a revelation that no matter where he went, that the Almighty God would defend his honor. He had a revelation when the giant approached him and challenged him. He had a revelation and an understanding that God was a God of power and might. He said, "I don't just serve God. I serve a living God. A God that's alive. A God that empowers me. A God that loves me. A God that I can worship. A God that I can serve. A God who has a word and he wants me to obey the word that he has. I have a revelation that God is real." Now notice the second verse that I read. King Saul said, "Go and may the Lord be" what? "Be with you." One said, "God," he said, "look, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear." The same God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the bear is the same God that will give me the power over my enemy. But the king said, "Go." Typical Christian statement. "And God be with you." But David said, "God is with me." One said, "God be with you." One said, "God is with me." See, I don't want to be the one that talks about God all the time. I want to be the one that is so full of God that you know there's no defeat in Him. We have to have that's why we can't get into worship. We'll sit there like a bump on a log because we have no revelation that God is alive. How do you know that God is alive? How do you know that you know that He's living and alive and well? Out of emotion, no. When your lifestyle changes. And all you want to do is obey His word. That's why people fall away. Because they made a commitment to accept Jesus, but they never developed the mindset where they want to be His disciple. That's why we last in the church before a brief moment. Listen, when you give yourself to Jesus, there are some things that we got to let go, man. There's some things we got to let go of. You'll never experience that God's alive and well if you don't let go of certain things in your life. We have to let go of things, man. I want to live my life that I did all I could to experience a living God. I want to know Him intimately. Do I completely know? I want to know that no matter what circumstance I face, that the same God that delivered me from this will deliver me from that. And one thing that David did, one thing that he did, was he had a revelation on worship. You know, when the giant challenged David, the Bible says that David went towards him. He was so full of God that he knew there was no defeat in him because he served a living God. that we could ever come to that understanding. That's why God seems so distant from some of you. So distant. Because you don't have the understanding, and I don't have it completely, that He is alive, man. He's a living God. A God that, more than a God, but a Father to me and you. Me and my older son were talking last night about a new football coach in town. And he said, "Dad, we need a coach that understands us." He said, "We need a coach that understands my anger problem," he said. And you know what? He's right. But more than that, do you know that we have a God that understands our issues? You know, God took me just the way I was 20-something years ago. A pervert. He took me just the way I was, Courtney. He said, "Oh, son, I know what I'm getting when I get you, but come on in. I'll mold you and mend you." God knows what He got when He got me and you. But one thing that David did is he had a lifestyle of unadulterated, Holy Ghost-filled worship. He knew he couldn't lose, man. Imagine living a life of so much confidence that you know your God will show up for you in every single circumstance. Well, your mind is so saturated in God's Word, think about that, you know you can't lose. Well, the doctor says, "Well, you got 3 months to live, but you're so full of God." "Okay, doctor, God bless you. How much is the copayment?" $40, and you walk out of there knowing that you're going to live. That is attainable. We just learn to be intimate with God the Father. You know, it breaks my heart, and I'm not picking on anybody. It breaks my heart with my own children. And I'm going to take the blame for that because I'm the head of the house. I need to create more of an atmosphere in my house with good godly worship music playing in my house all the time. My kids come and they sit just like I do on the front row. See, kids will do what they see their parents do. They'll do it, whether it's good or bad. That's going to have to change. Because I want my kids to understand that we serve a living God. Not a God to be talked about, but a God to be experienced. And we're going to get back. I've let them the last couple of weeks. We haven't done much reading the Bible or anything. And that's on me. I'm the man of the house. I run my household. One thing that I have to do is unadulterated, pure, Holy Ghost-filled worship. Because I want to walk in life knowing that I serve a living God that's willing to flex His muscle in my circumstance every single time. There's no failure in that, man. There's no failure knowing God in an intimate, intimate manner. We can't fail in life. I've called to first deny myself. I'm called first to let things go in my life. And I'm called to raise my kids first in the ways of God. My kids first. Because if I can't raise my kids first in the ways of God, I won't raise anybody else in the ways of God either. It just isn't going to happen. If there's not enough compassion in me to raise my kids right in God, then it's deception if I think I can raise somebody else's kids in the ways of God. It just isn't going to happen. You can fool yourself all you want to. It isn't going to happen. I can fool myself all I want to. It isn't going to happen. So what do you do if your kid doesn't want to serve Jesus? The next best thing is to walk in the love of God towards him or her. But I have to create more of an atmosphere in my home for my children. If I could ever get them to comprehend that we serve a living God, then they win. Then they win. Once you know God is so real, then we win. Right now, as a dad, I have not done a good job in that. I can't tell them about Jesus and live another life and expect them to walk according to what I taught. See, words are a dime a dozen. Anybody can say good words. Any Christian can quote Bible verses. Anyone can. And make it sound good. It's lifestyles that the Lord's after. Lifestyles where we preach with our lifestyle. And David so intrigues me with his worship, his love for God the Father. You know, we can worship God anywhere that we go, under a tree. Lunch break at school, you go by a tree by yourself and for 10 or 15 minutes, just give God glory and honor for all that He is. You're in a trial, just lift up your hands. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a hypocritical pastor. I'll tell you the truth. There's times that I don't, but it's a heart cry in me that it's a way of life to us. It's a way of life of opening up our hearts and saying, Jesus, I worship you, Lord. I don't feel like worshiping you right now, Lord. I'm beaten down by the world system, Father. This job of mine, Lord, our lifestyle should be that of thanksgiving all the time. Facing bankruptcy, Lord, I give you praise and I give you honor that you had the wisdom, but I chose not to hear you. And I'm not facing bankruptcy, God. Whatever it may be, get fired tomorrow from work, Father, the first instinct we ought to have within us is to lift up our hands and say, Father, I worship you and bless you. I have a job that I don't like, but I complain all the time. It's a good paying job and I hate it. Why not lift up my hands and say, Father, I thank you. Today I complained about it. Lord, I thank you so much. You provided me a job where I can feed my children. So what's the moral of this teaching today? Pure, Holy Ghost-filled, unadulterated worship. Just worship. And I'm going to ask Lubita and Alex to hold me to that at work. Hold me to that. Now, many people believe that you have to be in a physical dwelling to worship God. David wrote in Psalm 63, God, you are my God. God, you are my God. My soul is so hungry for you. My soul is so thirsty for you in a dry and weary land. He says, so I have sought you. I've looked for you, Lord, in this world. And people take that and they say that David was in a physical tabernacle to worship God. Only one problem, he was in the wilderness fighting a war. So everywhere we walk, everywhere we go, me and you together can lift up praise towards God the Father. We can say simple things. And guys, I choose to do it with no music. There's a place in God I have not found that I know it's there. Where I know that I know that I know that He is so real and so alive. A place where there's no distractions. There's trials. There'll always be trials. There'll always be tribulation. But guess what? My God will deliver me from every single one of them. Are you sure? That's what the Bible says. I want to know when there's giants in my life that I don't have to duck them. I don't have to go around them. I can just walk straight at them knowing that I have so much confidence in God that I know nothing can stop me. I want to reach a place in God where nobody bothers me. Where the wrong that Alex has in his life, I want to find the place where even when he has wrong and does wrong, that I don't note the wrong that he has and does. There's a place in God that we can find that I haven't yet, but I'm looking for it. I want to know that God is living. I don't want to talk about God. I want to experience God. I want to rub shoulders with Him. That's why 11 of the 12 disciples, the apostles, they were martyred. Bartholomew, they say, I believe, was filleted alive. Simon Peter hung upside down on a cross. John wasn't martyred, but he was dipped in hot tar. One of them was sawn in half, was sawn asunder. Why? Because they had a revelation that God was alive in the form of a man. There's a place that me and you can find, if we choose to, where God can be so real to us. We just got to find it. And one of those things that we can do that's so vital is to be men and women of worship. Worship and win, like Alex said, even when you don't want to. Worshiping God when you don't feel like it. Let me preach to myself when I don't feel like it. When I'm having a hectic day at work, when I get up to go get a bottle of water from the refrigerator at work and I've caught up with all my emails and I get back and there's 28 more. See, people say, that's not a job. Okay. Let me see you behind a computer all day long, stressing your brain to answer questions 100 different times a day. Oh my God, you don't have a clue. I'd rather do physical labor than do what I do. Praise the Lord, though. I thank you. Give you praise, Jesus. Beat that addict. Where were y'all at? Where were y'all at? If we could ever develop that mindset, Miss Courtney, where people are full of thanksgiving, always hold me. Hold me up to it. I want to be a man with no fear in my heart. I want to be a man that loves you like Jesus loves you. I want to be a man that knows you have issues in your life, but I don't take note of those issues. And you want to be the same. There's not a person in here that doesn't want to be what I want to be. He said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. That's what David said. Before the sun comes up, he said, early will I seek you. God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Before the dawn comes, I want to be up and ready. I want to tell you over and over again how much I love you. Because when you fall in love with somebody, guess what? You won't cheat on them. I can't tell my wife that I love her. Honey, I love you with all my heart and have a girlfriend on the side. That's not love, my friends. But if I fall in love with Jesus and I'm intimate with Jesus, I won't cheat on him. I won't cheat on him. And that's only done by rubbing shoulders with him. Now, please, my preference is no music. If you go home and you worship Jesus to a song you like, please, more power to you, man. There's no wrong or right way. I just have my prayer. That's how I do it. I'm going to do it even more. Think about it. I'm done in a few minutes. Did you make a commitment to receive Christ? Or did you make a commitment to be his disciple? When you gave your life to Jesus, there are certain things that we have to let go. There are certain things that our flesh likes that we have to let go. I can tell you, and you can tell me till I'm blue in the face or till you're blue in the face. I could tell you don't do this. I could tell you don't do that. You could tell me the same exact thing. But till I come to terms with myself that God is so alive and he's so real and that I love him with all my heart, it won't mean nothing because I'll end up doing what you told me not to do and vice versa. I don't waste my time counseling people. I'm telling you. Maybe I'm rude, but especially if you come here, you ain't going to take 30 minutes out of my day for counsel because you know what to do. Right or wrong? I just ain't going to do it. Not being taught what we're taught here. Alex knows I counsel real quick. I need to talk to you. I got problems. Whoa, 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 Alex. Hold on, hold on. Have you been praying? No. Darn it. I found the answer. I'm not good at counseling. And if I'm not doing good and you see me being rude, just say, Homer, you've been praying? Nope, ain't none of your business. Prayer cures everything, man. Everything. God isn't mad at you. But as he's teaching me how to love him more, I want to teach you how to love him more. I've made mistakes on this journey. I told her, I want to invest in kids that really want Jesus, man. I can't make anybody serve Jesus. I can't make anybody serve Him. There's so many kids that are so hungry here that I've overlooked. I can't make anybody serve Jesus. I can be your friend, but I can't make you serve Jesus, man. And I can't waste my time on you if you don't want to serve Jesus. That might have hurt there. But I believe you're here today because you want some of God. I do believe that everybody here today, you just got to fight through the flesh, fight through the things that you like, fight through the things that I like, to ultimately fall in love with Christ head over heels. I've been blessed. There's three guys that I was able to mentor, Alex and Carl and Renee. And not that the words that I spoke to them persuaded them. They just did what we taught. I'm not a man of persuasion. I'm not very smart. But they did what I told them to do, pray in tongues. Read your Bible, pray in tongues. And they did. But now, as the Holy Spirit is teaching me, let me teach you something. Open up your heart to worship. Let's open up our heart to worship. To know that we can fall in love with God. We can have all of God that we want. We've been served. I've been served. David said, God is alive. And we can ever grasp that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not just, He's alive, my friends. He is alive. Obviously, I haven't worshipped the way I should have throughout the years. That's why I'm so excited about this. I know there's some dry times coming in my life of worship, but I have to fight through them. I know what I got to do. I know the times that He set me to do it. And I got a nice little tree picked out already. Where it's just me and Him. No music. No nothing. Just me. An oak tree. A green swing. An open heart. Hands and a mouth that will say, I love you, Jesus. See, I want to love you like He loves you. I want to know your weakness and love you through your weakness. And it not faze me. And that's only going to be found as we love Him more. I can't be a better dad unless I get closer to Jesus. I can't be a better pastor unless I grow closer to Jesus. I don't have time to sit down and tell you what's right or wrong. But let me introduce you to the remedy. And His name is Jesus Christ. I can't take you to the next level until I go to the next level. And this is not a sprint, my friends. This is a marathon. You can get real excited. Just relax. Take a deep breath and know that this is a marathon, not a sprint. See, you're real quiet because it's bearing witness with you. Either it's boring, one of the two. Not a day that goes by that I don't think about you guys. A lot of boys were gone on recruiting trips this week. How you were on my mind. I missed you. And I prayed for you. I just pray that you would experience Jesus, man. Come to the conclusion that He is alive. Alive. Alive and well. And so full of love. Experience Jesus. Experience Him. Live Him. And you'll live a life of victory every single day of your life. I'm called to bring my kids up in the ways of God. I'm going to go tomorrow and buy me a nice little CD player that's going to play in my house with good, solid worship music. We will get together as a family starting tomorrow and we will worship Jesus. So I ask you today, go home tonight, my friends, as I wind down. Go to an isolated place for a few moments. And don't ask Him for nothing. But tell him over and over again how much you love him. I'm here to help you find him. As he instructs me how to find him, I'll instruct you on how to find him. As he shows me how to overcome my weakness, I'll show you how to overcome yours. It's all about loving him. Like Julio said at over lunch, it's all about changing within yourself. I can't change you with words. But if you see Jesus in me, like he said today when we ate at Rip City, if you know there's a change in my life without telling you there's a change in my life, that's what he's talking about. Man, that's what he's looking for. For men and women to preach with their lifestyle and not with their lips. I used to want to debate with everybody. I taught Alex, one of Alex was pretty good debating before I got him. He used to want to fight with everybody on Facebook. Everybody and their mama. Alex, boy. He's getting better. I did too, and I'm getting better. I still got a little bit of fight in me. But it's about living out the epistles of Jesus Christ. And we can preach it. We know that. But the day and moment, Jesus said in this last minute, and I do agree that there has to be power, absolutely. But he didn't say by the power that you walk in, they know that you belong to me. What did he say? See, the power comes as a fruit of love. You can't look for the power first. He said, they will know that you're my disciple if you have what? Love one to another. When I can love you like he loves you, then God said, oh my God, look at Julio. Look at him. I know he's making a stand. He can't be moved. He's not offended. Okay, son, you want that anointing, that yoke-breaking anointing? Here you go, son. Lay your hands on the little ones, and they will recover. But he said, it's by the love that we walk in that society would know that we belong to Jesus. And that's what we're after here, to know that he lives. Worship God tonight. Experience Jesus. It's going to cost you a little something. It's going to cost you a denial of your things. It's going to cost you to worship when you don't feel like it. It's easy to worship God when you feel like it. It's another thing to worship him when you don't. Fight through those dry times. And know that he's living. Fight through them. Fight through those dry times. There's a place of consistency in him that we have to find in every single area of our life. We've got to learn to be intimate with him. We will never be the same. Amen. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you. We give you everlasting praise, everlasting glory. Jesus, you're holy. Jesus, you're worthy. We praise you this evening. May I remember my very own words tonight, Father, as I endeavor, Father, to find you like I never have before. Baptized in my mind in all that you are. So, Father, I give you praise right now. I give you glory.